I believe that today, the greatest need in the church today is the Spirit of God to move in our church. I believe that without the Spirit of God, church is really just a social club. Just getting together and socializing. But if the Spirit of the Lord is there, if the Holy Ghost is there, we experience a wonderful blessing being together in the presence of the Holy One. Amen? He knows what he's talking about. One thing I'm very thankful for is that this Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is not a trickster. I'm very thankful for that. Now, if you are around me at all, you'll find out that I enjoy pranks. And I enjoy tricking. So bad that my wife knows me very well. Matter of fact, I've pranked my wife on so many occasions that any time that I'm really serious, she doubts me. You know, you ever heard the story, Crying Wolf? Well, I've done that several times. Matter of fact, on one occasion in Missouri, my friend and I were playing basketball, and we lowered the court just enough so we could dunk the ball. And the goal was, who could dunk on who the best? And my friend came running at me, and I jumped in the air to try to stop him, and we collided in midair. His body flipped, he landed on his head, and I lost my balance, and I almost broke my ankle. I felt like I did break my ankle. Well, he's sitting on the curb with a concussion, and I'm sitting there holding my ankle, and we're both just about to tears. And my other friend runs in the house and gets my wife, and my wife doesn't believe a word that we're saying. They're holding me up, and I'm limping, and my friend's holding his head, and we're getting in the car, and we're heading to the emergency room. That's how bad this is. And we're going to the emergency room, and my wife still doesn't believe me. She literally doesn't believe me until I literally sit in front of a nurse and tell her that my ankle, I think I broke it, and they're about to do an x-ray. She figured I would not spend the money on the x-ray, so that's how the proof came. She didn't believe a word I said. But the Holy Ghost doesn't do that. He never cries wolf. He'll never lead you to a place or lead you astray or trick you or misguide you or take you places that you ought not to be. He is always going to do the right thing at the right time, in the right place, in the right manner. And I want you to pay close attention to what he says here in verse 13. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. The Holy Ghost, he gets messages from heaven, and he relays them to you and I. He hears from God, and then he speaks it to you and I. He tells you what you need to hear. He gives you what heaven is trying to tell you. You know what I'm so thankful for? That he speaks what he hears from God. I'm so glad that today I am not alone on this earth. I'm so thankful that the Comforter is beside me, abiding with me, guiding me, clothing me, filling me, hiding me, protecting me. I'm so thankful that Jesus did not leave us comfortless, but that he sent the Comforter to us to guide and protect us, that he'll speak to us what God has to say. He speaks that which he hears. He relays messages from heaven. You know what we need today is ministers who are led by the Spirit of God, because then we're going to hear from heaven. Amen. We need ministers who are going to hear what God has to say and deliver the word as it's supposed to be delivered. Now, let me tell you, as a pastor, there's a lot of pressures. A lot of pressures from people, friends, family members, and the world in general, and everybody around us, around pastors, to pressure them to compromise a little bit, because it would be easy for me to not be harsh or difficult. It'd be easy for me to never mention the word sin or faults and failures, or deal with those things and only preach to you happiness and goodness and only preach to you favorable sermons that tickle your ears to make you happy. But if I do that, then I compromise as a pastor, because I have to lead you in truth. And truth sometimes doesn't always focus on the positive. Sometimes it deals with the negative. But the Holy Ghost is that kind of leader. He always delivers the message from heaven, whether you like it or not. And I want to tell you that true ministers of God are not here to tickle your ears. I'm going to tell you that the Bible says in the last days, men will have itching ears, desiring to hear only what they want to hear. And there's a lot of people who are going to churches looking for churches that fit them. Amen. They're not looking for a church where God's going to talk to them. They want to go somewhere where they can fit in. I want to go somewhere where I feel comfortable. Yeah. Tell me something that makes me happy, preacher, and I might stay. Listen, I'm going to tell you what makes God happy, and it's your decision whether you like it or not. Amen. Because what makes God happy is when the children of God walk in obedience. When the children of God live holy and separated lives unto Him. What makes God happy is when a child of the Lord says, Father, I love you so much. I want to be pleasing to you today. I want to serve you today. I want to give you my all today. That makes God happy. The Spirit of the Lord speaks what He hears from God. God is not a liar. He's not going to tell you you're all right when you're not. Everybody wants to hear they're all right. But listen, when you're right with God, you don't have to be told that. No one had to tell me, Bruce, are you saved today? No. I am saved today. Amen. Nobody's got to tell me, hey, are you serving the Lord today? I am serving the Lord today. Amen. There's no question about those things. The truth is that the Spirit of the Lord lets me know where I am and where I'm supposed to be. And we need to be led by the Spirit because the Spirit speaks. He relays messages from heaven. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit never contradicts Himself. I've seen in churches where people will stand up and interrupt the preacher as he's preaching and try to give a message in tongues. That's out of order.
Amen. Come on.
The Holy Ghost don't interrupt Himself. He don't contradict Himself. Amen. I've heard people tell me, well, I just was overwhelmed by the Spirit and I could not contain. That's foolishness. Yes. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subjected to the prophet. In other words, you can control it. In other words, you can hold on to it, harness it, and wait for the right time. I'm not trying to diminish the fact that you're feeling something from God, but I am trying to tell you that even though we're feeling something from God, there's a right time and a wrong time to let that be delivered. The Holy Ghost speaks, and when He speaks, He does not contradict Himself. He's not going to tell you something and go against something that He's already said. Let me tell you what the measuring stick of every belief is. Right here, it's in my hand. He will not contradict His word. He will not go against His word. He will not say that you can do something that the Bible explicitly says is wrong. Well, today, everybody, now, okay, I'm going to get on a subject. You ready? I'm not being offensive by no means. I'm just going to, everyone's talking about it, so preachers need to do the same. Amen? I'm not trying to be offensive. But the point is this. There's a lot of people today who are saying that the church is not caught up with the times concerning homosexuality. I want to tell you very well that the Spirit of truth has already spoken about this situation of homosexuality. Homosexuality is no different of a sin than an alcoholism is. Homosexuality is no different of a sin than a person who goes out there and buys drugs from a drug lord. There's no difference. Sin is sin. And those simple things, the Spirit of truth has already said them. I know people are trying to say it's not in the book, but I could take you to verses right now in this Bible that tells you it's wrong. The Spirit of truth isn't going to change that. Now, ministers might, because in the last days, men are going to have itching ears, only wanting to hear what they want to hear. Ministers will change it. But God doesn't change. Let me quote to you the verse all of you know. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. God doesn't change, but we as people change. Our cultures change. And so we think that God must change. But I want to tell you, God doesn't change. He's trying to change your culture. He's trying to change your mentality. He's trying to change the way you think. Hence the phrase in the Bible, all things become new, a new creature inside of you. That's what God is trying to do. He doesn't go against himself. He speaks what he hears, and it's clear. I want you to understand something. The Holy Ghost is clear.
Amen.
What I love about God is I could be talking about something completely off topic that you're dealing with, but the Holy Ghost has a way of getting on that topic with one word I've said.
Amen.
Have you ever been in church and the whole sermon wasn't necessarily for you, but yet one word was? And it opened up a floodgate of thoughts.
Yeah.
It opened up a floodgate of spiritual concepts that you were not akin to at that moment. But all of a sudden your mind is open and you're feasting, as it were, in your soul on what you're thinking about. You ever been there? Have you ever opened the book and read passages that you've read several times before, but all of a sudden they've got a meaning you never thought it ever had before? Where do you think that comes from? The Spirit of God speaks clearly. He speaks clearly to where you're at. He knows where you're at. He knows spiritually where you're at. And so he speaks to that need, and he will deal directly with that. What we need today is preachers who will stand behind the pulpit and preach right where the world is.
Amen.
And preach right where God is.
Yeah.
And say, this is where the people of God should be.
Amen.
I believe today the biggest problem is that ministers and even lay Christians are not drawing the line in the sand saying, I will not cross this line. Because the line has been drawn by God many years ago. Yeah. The church today needs to listen to what the Spirit is trying to say to the church.
Amen.
What did Jesus proclaim? Didn't we hear him say in Revelation, let him that hath ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Why? Because the Spirit is relaying messages from heaven. We're hearing from God. Oh, how we need to hear more messages from heaven and less messages from the flesh. How we need to hear what God has to say. How we need prophets to say, thus saith the Lord. And we need to hear less of what men say of themselves and what people think the Bible says. There's a lot of false teachers in the world today, and I want you to know that the Holy Ghost is against them.
Amen.
He fights against them. I love it when heaven comes down. Hearing from heaven is the most liberating thing you'll ever experience in all your life. Matter of fact, if you came here and all you're doing is hearing a message from me, well, you received a man's blessing.
Right.
Amen. But when you hear from heaven,
yeah,
when you receive something from there,
hallelujah,
it comes rich, full, and overflowing. It comes as a blessing that the Bible declares of rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. It's a blessing of manna that you can't describe it. You can only call it a small round thing. It's just something wonderful from God that can't be truly comprehended. You just know you've been blessed. And trying to define it is just fruitless. You can't do it. It's just too good. I love it when I hear from heaven.
Amen.
I told the story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I was going through a really difficult time as a pastor. I was struggling. I get up behind the pulpit and I was spiritually exhausted. You ever been there?
Amen.
I was spiritually exhausted. And even to the point where I felt like, Lord, am I missing you somehow? I don't know if you've ever been there, but that's how I felt. Like I was missing God somehow. And I was weary in my heart. And I remember going to a service. I was so hungry, I drove 45 minutes away to go to a revival. Just to be in a revival. And I sat down. And the man of God opened the Bible. And he read there where Samson declared to the Lord one more time. And he read those words one more time.
Yes, Lord.
And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart. It was manna from heaven. manna from heaven. And when I heard those words from God, my heart leaped inside of me and tears began to flow down my face. And I listened to every word that man of God preached. Every word that came out was like manna from heaven. I came in weary. I came in beat back. I came in distraught. I came in feeling like I maybe wasn't the best Christian in the world or the best pastor in the world. But when the Holy Ghost came down from heaven and I was lifted up. Oh, how I left that place excited. I left that place lifted up. I left that place encouraged. I left that place with the power of God flowing again. Oh, how we need to hear from heaven. He speaks what he hears, and I'm telling you, he has messages from God. He has messages from God. I like to listen to politicians fight, but I really like to listen to God explain. There's nothing greater than hearing God. I said there's nothing greater than hearing God. There's something tragic in the church today. It's a lack of hearing what thus saith the Lord. We need to come to church and feel like we've been challenged. Because the Holy Ghost will challenge you. I'm telling you that He is responsible for your growth. And He will challenge you to grow. And growing is a challenge. It's not easy to grow spiritually. Matter of fact, oftentimes when we grow spiritually, we go through what we call growing pains. All of you have experienced that in your physical body. It happens in your spiritual life as well. As God is moving you into deeper realms of Him, you begin to experience what I call the drop-off stage. You begin to drop off things that you did not realize don't matter. You begin to get rid of things that you're like, well, I don't need that anymore. This isn't going to help me get to heaven. It isn't going to hurt me to get to heaven, but it's not very important. It's not expedient for me to deal with this. So you drop it off. Then there are those things that the Holy Ghost says, that has got to go. Amen. I've experienced a lot of those things. That has got to go. I cannot tell you how many times the Holy Ghost has dealt with me. One time, He dealt with me about fishing. Can you believe that? Fishing. I would go fishing all the time. I'd find a lake, and I'd go fishing. I loved fishing. It was something I enjoyed doing. I'd take my Bible, I'd read my Bible, and I'd go fishing. Well, you know what? My pastor got up and preached the message. You're going fishing too much. Blew me away. He didn't even know I was going fishing. You know, I'm like, what? And so I had to stop fishing. The Holy Ghost was dealing with my heart. You can't be fishing all the time, man. There's things you got to do. So God dealt with me and spoke to my heart. He relays messages from heaven and deals with us. You know, Jesus said this. He said, the kingdom of God has come down to you. Can you imagine hearing His words? So powerful were the words of Christ that when the high priest's servants came to take Jesus back to the high priest, they came back empty-handed. And the high priest said, why didn't you bring Jesus? And they said, never a man spake like that man. Never a man spake like that man. How powerful His words must have been. They couldn't explain why demons were trembling and fleeing. They couldn't explain the healing. So they said, He's casting them out by the spirit of Beelzebub. He's casting them out by demonic powers. And Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. But if the kingdom of God has come down to you, truly you are witnessing God here on this earth. Oh, how wonderful it is when heaven comes down. And I'm telling you, how does heaven come down today? He comes down in the form of the Holy Ghost. And He comes down by speaking into your mind and your hearts. So what is the Spirit saying to the church today? The same thing He's been saying for centuries.
Amen.
Repent.
Amen.
Not a popular message today. A popular message today is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I say to you, repent.
Amen.
As your pastor, I want you to accept Jesus by repenting.
Amen.
Repentance. Yes, Jesus began his ministry as John the Baptist did. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Spirit of the Lord does the same thing. In Acts chapter 2, the men were pricked in their heart, and they said, men of God, what must we do? And Peter looked at him and said, repent. How does a man get a hold of God? He repents because he knows he's fallen from the Lord. How does God get a hold of man? The man repents, and God enters into his life and heart by the Holy Ghost. That's what he's preaching to the church today. What is he preaching to the church today? Walk worthy of your call. You got to walk worthy of the salvation gift that God has given you. Paul said this. Walk worthy of the call. What is the Holy Ghost trying to teach the church today? To be the church today.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of people who can look like a church.
Come on, preach it.
They could put on a nice bow tie. They could put on a nice suit. They could even wear the fancy white shoes. Don't you be coveting my shoes now. You can put on the show, if you will. You can look the part. But the Holy Ghost is going to make sure you know that you have to walk worthy of the call. He'll deal with you when you get out of line. And I'm so thankful for that because I get out of line a lot. So you're the pastor. How can you get out of line? Trust me, it happens. There are times the Lord tells me to go, you don't say nothing. You know how hard that is sometimes? Because I got a lot to say. Amen? I know I ain't the only one's got a big mouth, so don't look at me like I'm the only one here's got a big mouth. And the Holy Ghost tells me sometimes, bite your tongue. I've got scars. Somewhere on this tongue. I can't see it, but it's there. Of where I've had to bite it, not say a word.
Yes, Lord.
And then there are times the Holy Ghost tells me not to say nothing, and I say a whole lot more than I should.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
He speaks to us. He guides us. He tells us how to walk worthy of the call. He tells us to repent. And then he says, be filled.
Amen.
I'm telling you that the message of the church today is that we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The reason why we fulfill more fleshly lusts in our life than anything else is because we have refused to walk in the Spirit. And that is the truth, whether it is liked or not. The truth is that we will not sin if every day our mind said, God, help me to walk in the Spirit. Help me to live by your word. Help me to be guided by your word. Then he says, he will show you things.
Amen.
Smith Wigglesworth told the story how he went down to preach to this lady. She was sick. And when he got into the room, he said to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to say to her? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him, said, read Isaiah 53.
Glory to God.
So he began to read Isaiah 53.
Hallelujah.
And all of a sudden, in the middle of his reading, the woman began to shout, I'm healed! I'm healed! I'm healed! Later on, Smith Wigglesworth found out that she had had a vision of him coming into the room. The Holy Ghost had showed her, Smith Wigglesworth coming in, and actually showed her him reading Isaiah 53. And right when he read, by his stripes we are healed. Right when he read that passage, in the vision, she was made whole. And in reality, she was made whole. Because the Spirit of the Lord shows us things to come. He shows us things in our life. He shows us things that are going to be harmful. Have you ever gone somewhere and something told you, get away?
Amen.
Have you ever been walking down the street and something said, you need to leave this area? Have you ever had the eebie-jeebies? The little creepy crawlies on you. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost knows how to protect his own. He knows how to show us when we're in danger. He knows how to show us when we are not. He knows how to bless us in every circumstance. He shows us things. He shows us right and wrong. I want you to know that the Holy Ghost is Christ-centered.
Amen.
He's Christ-centered. Look at verse 14. I'm almost done. Verse 14 says, He shall glorify me.
Hallelujah.
He shall glorify me. The Holy Ghost is Christ-centered. Not only does He show us things, not only does He speak what He hears, but and not only does He hear messages from heaven and relays them to us, but then He glorifies Christ in our life. How does a man learn to be Christ-like? The Holy Ghost teaches him.
Amen.
How does a man learn right from wrong? The Holy Ghost teaches him. How does a person learn that certain things are wrong? Listen, the Bible says that God said, I'm going to have a new covenant. I'm going to write my laws in your heart. How do you think He writes laws in your heart? Paul said he was fascinated by this, that the Greeks were doing by nature what the Jews were practicing for years. They had a law written about it, but it was written in the Greek-speaking people's heart. He said, I'm fascinated that they do by nature what we have been commanded to do. He saw it at work, the Holy Ghost moving. What's amazing is here, you got saved, you didn't want to go to church at all, but now you want to go to church. Why is that? You didn't want to serve God. You didn't want to read your Bible. You most definitely didn't want to give in the offering plate. But here, look at what you're doing now. Oh, man, He's Christ-centered. He constantly glorifies God. One of the most sure ways you can tell that the Holy Ghost is a part is if Christ is number one. That's how you know. I can tell you how this church, we'll know the Spirit is moving here. It ain't going to be in how many people are slain in the Spirit.
Right.
It isn't going to be on how many people can shake and quake and slobber and cry. And no, it's going to be because Christ is number one. That's what it's going to be. That our Savior is number one. He glorifies Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He takes God and He magnifies Him in our life. He glorifies Him. People who had not experienced God, not ever experienced the presence of God, when they experience God and surrender their heart to God, it's amazing how their love for God is just blossoming and how excited they are about God and His love and how they get it, they're exuberant about it, how they want to dance and shout and praise God. Some of you never were crazy until you met God. When you met Him, Jesus became everything.
Hallelujah.
Everything. You met Jesus, and all of a sudden the pictures on your wall are changing. I got to put a Jesus picture over here. That'll look good in my house. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. You know how Jesus changes us. Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth has come, He's going to glorify me. One of the ways we know He's there is Christ is center. Christ is center. One of the ways we know that you are Spirit-led, Christ
Amen.
Is the center.
Hallelujah.
Ezekiel said He's the will in the middle of the will. He's the hub that makes it all go around. Understand, church, that you, how do I personalize this? Because I've been talking on a church level. Personalize it for a moment. Think about it. What is the Holy Ghost going to do in your life? He's going to lift Christ up.
Amen.
He's going to lift Christ up. He's going to put God where He belongs in your life. And He's going to tell you everything else is secondary.
Amen.
He's going to tell you everything else is secondary.
Amen.
That God is number one.
Amen.
That's what He's going to do. He's going to lift up Jesus. It happens during praise. The worship will start going. All of a sudden, you raise your hand, and the Holy Ghost will say, sing praises to Him.
Hallelujah.
Sing praises to Him. There'll be moments in your life where you need something from God, and the Holy Ghost will say, focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. There'll be times that you're going through a very difficult time, and I've heard preachers and people testify of this, that they were going through a hard time, and the Holy Ghost said, Jesus went through a worse time. There have been moments in my ministry where I wanted to quit. and thinking about the sufferings of Christ helped me realize and put in perspective what matters most.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost had to reveal it to me.
Hallelujah.
There are times in our life that we are going to have to be Christ-centered. Why? Because He's everything. I want you to know that this whole book, Genesis to Revelation, is about Him.
Amen.
I want you to know that it is about Him.
Yeah.
From Genesis to Revelation, it is the revelation of God's Son. It is God revealing to us the salvation plan for you and I. God didn't want you to be uninformed. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, is what Paul said. God wants you to know, and by the Holy Ghost, you're going to know that Christ is number one.
Man.
He speaks what He knows. He speaks what He hears. He glorifies the Father. He shows you things to come. I think the Holy Ghost knows what He's talking about.
Man.
You ever been around people that don't know what they're talking about? I've listened to a lot of spiritually minded people have no clue. I've heard people try to tell me spiritual things that I could sit down if they'd let me speak. I could show them biblically. That's not true. That's not true. I've heard people who have the truth, who could share it, pull it out, and say, this is the truth. The Holy Ghost knows what He's talking about.
Amen.
He's giving you the Word of God. This is your measuring stick. If it ain't in the book, it ain't right.
Amen.
Amen? It's your measuring stick. God wants you to know that the Holy Ghost knows what He's talking about.
Hallelujah.
Listen to Him. Listen to Him. When you pray, take time to listen.
Yes, Lord.
A lot of times we pray and all we do is speak, 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 speak. Sometimes we need to just sit there and say, Lord, here I am. Speak to me. Amen. Speak to me. Father, I thank You for Your word this morning. Father, I thank You that the Holy Ghost knows what He's talking about. I thank You, God, that You have revealed to us the Comforter, that You have taught us things to come, that You have showed us the things to come. I want to thank You, God, for the mysteries that You have revealed and for the mysteries that You will reveal at Your coming. Father, I want to thank You right now that the Holy Ghost is not tricking us, but He is relaying the truth from heaven. I want to thank You that we have direct contact with You through prayer and through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to thank You for this power, this unction, this anointing. I want to thank You for it. Father, because without You, without the Holy Ghost, without Your Son, we are lost. Thank You for redemption. Thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.